Shalom.
Hello. Hello, we are studying selected excerpts from the sources about deficiency for the greatness of the Creator. You can send me questions to captivity, and selected questions will be asked during the lesson.
So, actually, we already understand that the lack for the Creator's greatness is the main thing that guides us towards spirituality. And the more we insist on it, fight for the Creator's greatness to be more important than everything else, from my own greatness, all in all. By that, I change my ways. I guide myself towards the spiritual world. Spirituality is in whole built upon the greatness of the Creator and on how the host becomes more and more important to me than myself. Then to that extent I can bestow upon him. Therefore, there is no side topic here, one of many other topics we study, but rather this is the main subject of study. So it is worthwhile for us to take into account and see how the Creator's greatness accompanies me throughout the day. The lack for it is something that I feel like breath. I must draw breath every moment. And the same way, exactly the same way, I need to remind myself every moment by force, or just to check to see if I feel a lack for the Creator's greatness, if I live it, if this gives me life, and that if the Creator isn't in my life, then I fall immediately into my ego, which rules over me and turns me into a beast. And the greatness of the Creator, it's very hard for us to reach it because it's concealed, it's hidden. And he guards himself so as to not be revealed. And he guards himself so that we won't need him in a coarse, egoistic, corporeal way, which will only serve to develop our ego, but rather that we will want him to rule over us in a manner where he is greater than us, greater than our egos. And then above the greatness of the ego, which is naturally, it's inherent to us, we will prefer bestowal over reception, and so advance. So, in order to allow us, to enable us to come to demand the Creator's greatness so as to be able to bestow upon him, we have been awarded with a very great preparation from above, the shattering of the soul. And so, by us being in tents together, in those tents, we can develop the need for the Creator's greatness, the importance of the Creator. And so each one helps his friend, specifically in that. And we truly can invoke the reforming light when each one is impressed by the friends, has some lack from them for the Creator's greatness, even in a corporeal way, in a competitive manner, perhaps, through envy, respect, desire. He longs for it. And this invokes the reforming light. And that light, we can invoke it even though we are still with desires, intentions, inclinations and questions which are impure, of course. But that doesn't matter. It's the same way a mother understands her baby, even if he himself doesn't know how to ask or to speak, she feels what he wants. And so, it's enough for us to just shout, to ask from our egos, give us, help us, we want this, we want that, even though we want the Creator's greatness and His importance out of all sorts of egoistic motives. But these egoistic reasons are accepted above as a necessity from our side. There's nothing else that can be done for the time being, so we turn to the Creator, but through the group, and by that we all annul ourselves, each one to a certain extent. And so even though we turn to Him due to envy or desire for respect, we invoke the reforming light, and it affects us. And so gradually we begin to indeed feel the necessity for the Creator's greatness, the lack for the Creator's greatness, and even the greatness of the Creator itself. And as it shines upon us, illuminates, even to a small extent, we can then appreciate and see how that thing saves me from everything. And I feel that I lack only that. There's nothing here besides that. I need to, or by replacing my own greatness, my own ego, where I think only about myself, with the greatness of the Creator, such that I'll be concerned about Him through the group. Well, you need to do the same thing through the ten, of course, and then with Him. By that, I enter the spiritual degree from the corporeal degree, from reception to bestowal. It's a matter of the greatness of the ten, and within that, the greatness of the Creator. That's the lever, or the crane with which I elevate myself, lift myself from corporeality to spirituality. And so we need to calculate and to take into account the extent to which I'm concerned about this, preoccupied with this, meaning that the Creator's greatness will be important to me, and that I'll see in it the only thing that I need to obtain, and everything else which can assist me in that, I accept gladly as assistance and support for that attainment. And to the extent of the Creator's greatness that I have, the greatness of the host, I'll be able to bestow upon him to carry out all sorts of actions, and my advancement, of course, depends on that. And so we're not leaving this subject of study. We need to continue with it, and we'll continue with it through to the end of correction, because there is no limit to the Creator's greatness. And this is what elevates us. And so we will advance. Questions? Yes.
We say the greatness of the Creator. Why don't we say the greatness of the quality of bestowal, and that's enough? There's something else when we say the greatness of the Creator?
The quality of bestowal is a force, a quality, an attribute, something that exists in nature. but seemingly without the spirit of life in it. I cannot turn to that quality of bestowal, to that power. I can't. It's there, it's present, but without, how to put it? I don't turn to the light of chasadim. I turn to the quality of bina. You understand? It's that's how it is. There are no words. There's no personality there. There's no one to turn to there. The Creator is not just a force. It's a will. It's a program. It's a plan. It's the purpose of creation, the purpose of life. Meaning, it's something which establishes for me all of my life and all of me. And so I turn to Him. I don't turn to any one of His qualities or expressions. Yeah, that's how it is. I don't have the words exactly, but nonetheless. Moti.
The Creator, is He an intelligent quality?
The Creator is understood by us as... Bala Sulam explains this in Or HaBahir, the bright light, that it's Bo Ure, come and see, Bore. When we come, we see, we discover. On one hand, the Creator, in respect to us, it's everything. We don't know what's above that. The upper force, which is abstract. What is the upper force? It's formless. But the Creator is Bo'ue. The Bo'ue is Bo'ue. Come and see. It belongs to me in a way. I can approach Him. I can come close to Him. I can interact with Him. And to get to know Him and to understand how He works, I to my beloved and my beloved to me, it's the. Otherwise, it's just an abstract force. The Creator is, yes.
Is it okay that in our relationship to Him, the interaction with Him, that something emotional can develop, for example?
Of course. God should not be foreign to you.
Yeah, because we're careful not to have an image.
No, don't. Let's not build up any fantasies, but with the Creator, we develop such a relationship where you feel and you understand. But again, it's to the extent that you annul your ego. It's called to bow down. But it's actually, it's... I can't explain it. You submit before something great, not powerful, not dominant, but rather you know Him to the extent that you want Him to rule over you. You recognize His greatness in a state where you want Him to be great, where you choose that. Yes.
I want to develop this point of annulling the ego towards Him. Let's say we come to a state where He's in control, He's doing everything, there's no one besides Him.
Yes.
But this annulment, how should it express itself? Because there are states of anger, emotions that erupt suddenly also towards the Creator. So is this a moment of no annulment?
Without that, you're under concealment.
But I nevertheless know that He is running all of reality.
So what?
But suddenly there's, anger breaks out about something.
Very well. So you can see that you're not with Him, and to what extent? And to that extent, you're not in contact with Him.
So the correct flow is when I annul completely, I agree to everything He's doing.
You don't only agree, you ask for it. It's the power of good. Not for your ego, but good unto itself. There are no words for this. Yes, Asaf.
I אז גדלות הבורא שאנחנו
So the greatness of the creator that we speak of is built specifically on top of the concealment.
The greatness of the creator is built out of you being under concealment and you feel the concealment and you feel how much you lack the greatness of the creator in order to be a human being. Yes.
So it's always the kind of greatness that I have to invent and build and imagine. It's never something that just lands on top of me from above.
That's
greatness
why
we always build from below upwards.
That's why we always need to build it from the 10.
So you can imagine it like that. That's what I wanted to say. The whole 10,
to the extent that the 10 is, well, the more powerful it is, the more spiritual than I am, to that extent I learn how the Creator's importance is truly important to me and necessary, urgent, crucial. To need, how to put it.
I need it.
Yeah, how much I need it.
And when we try to provide one another the greatness above the concealment, does this mean that we're generating this raft?
Then I begin to see my life as that raft. And how each time the tides come and go. Yes, tides.
High and low tides.
Yes.
So during the day, I can see how much I'm in this high and low tide, find myself in a demand to stay with the friends, with the ten.
Yes, yes. Despite all of the falls, the descents, the confusions, in respect to the Creator's greatness, everything in my life I now begin to measure only with respect to the greatness of the Creator. How much it's beneficial, how much it isn't, if the greatness of the Creator holds me there correctly, or yes or no, only in respect to that discernment. If I'll be able to maintain it to a certain constant extent, I'll enter the spiritual degree. You just need to know. But here, it also depends on how much I'm in the 10, because by myself, I'm unable to maintain it. It's not a vessel. Right? Yes.
Yesterday you said something in the 10 that the greatness of the 10 of the Creator should be kept in concealment, just like he conceals himself by the ego. We need to conceal him above the ego.
Yes.
Can you explain how to keep the concealment?
I don't remember the context. It was about the 10 or something. The greatness of the Creator. Of course, what do you mean by concealment? I'm not going to advertise to everyone how much I lack the greatness of the Creator or to what extent I'm in the greatness of the Creator and to what extent it guides me in my life. I don't tell this to anyone, but constantly I feel as if this inner anxiety. Do I lack the greatness of the Creator or don't I? This anxiety has to be maintained constantly. It's like, I'm constantly in that. This actually gives birth to a constant, permanent lack for it. And this promotes me. This is what pulls me forward. This discernment is a spiritual discernment, and the main one.
So what is concealment from the others, not to talk about it with others directly?
Of course we're not talking about this in a direct way, except sometimes to a certain extent in workshops or throughout the day if you speak to each other. But you can talk about it, but talk about it in a way that's impersonal. We need to do this and that, that's what's written, and so on. It's not that I, me, that's not worthwhile, because as of yet we are with our egoistic desires, and we can do harm to each other if we do that.
It's concealing ourselves from Him?
To conceal ourselves from the Creator? That's... those are very, very lofty things. And Moses hid. We'll see. We will see. We're not talking about concealment right now. There are several concealments, but we're not talking about the concealment where the creator's greatness is concealed. It needs to be revealed, but the Creator Himself we don't want revealed. We only need to receive energy from His greatness without knowing Him, so to speak. And then that's what we discover.
So how do we maintain this discernment that we want the forces from His greatness and not to discover that He's great?
You'll need to think about it and discern one thing from another. It needs to be a very clear sensation that I require only the power of His greatness. How to put it? Well, let's say I have a great father. You know, like I'm a child, let's say, and I have a great father, and he's very big, and he'll come and beat you up. You know, that's the way a child sometimes thinks. So what is he using? He's using his father's greatness, and then he's not afraid. Right? That's what we need to do. The greatness. How much we... It's not that we know and understand him, but his greatness. His greatness. Why? Because to the extent that I have His greatness in me, I will build within me the quality of bestowal. And I won't demand anything besides that. And by that quality of bestowal I'll build within me, I'll be able to know everything. Otherwise it won't be in order to bestow, it won't be spiritual. Yes.
So in the example you gave, it keeps the ego calm. There's a big father, and everybody's saying that.
I want the same in spirituality. Go on. What's the problem?
How does this become the quality of bestowal?
This isn't forbidden.
How does it become the quality of bestowal from something calming and that gives you confidence that father is great?
That the Creator will be great in your estimation. That's very good. What's wrong about it? What's bad?
It's not wrong.
So how will you develop it and ask for it, request it? You want His greatness to guard you, to rule over you. What is His greatness? The greatness of the quality of bestowal above the quality of reception. You'll need to lower your egoistic head and to accept His authority. But for the time being, you're an egoist who acquires confidence, let's say, security, success. You're not afraid of your enemies, those who come to harm you. For the time being, that's how it is. What can you do? The ego works in a very simple way. All right. Yes?
No, Vlad.
Yes, Vlad.
I also want to ask, as Gilad, maybe you meant for something else. When the Creator conceals Himself, seemingly by our ego, and we need to conceal Him above our ego, and that's how we receive the revelation. That's what you said. Maybe you meant that this is also from your actions, we shall know you.
I had many things in mind, and I won't say any more, because you need to begin to feel something, to just try to feel it, and that's it, right? Let's continue. Let's read.
Excerpt number 1 from Bala Sulam, Shamati 211, as though standing before a king. One who is sitting at one's home is not as one who is standing before a king. This means that faith should be that he will feel all day as though he is standing before the king. Then his love and fear will certainly be complete. As long as he has not achieved this kind of faith, we should not rest. For this is our lives and the length of our days, and we will accept no recompense. And the lack of faith should be woven in his limbs until the habit becomes a second nature, to the extent that when I remember him, he does not let me sleep. But all the corporeal matters quench this lack, since he sees that anything that gives him pleasure, the pleasure cancels the deficiency and the pain. Rather, he must want no consolation, and he should be careful with any corporeal thing that he receives, so it does not quench his desire. And this is done by regretting that by his pleasure, the sparks and powers of the kelim, of the vessels of kedusha, of holiness, are missing in him, meaning desires for kedusha, for holiness. And through the sorrow, he can keep from losing vessels of sanctity.
Again.
Again, one who is sitting at one's home is not as one who is standing before a king. This means that faith should be that he will feel all day as though he is standing before the king.
Sitting in his home means inside his ego, but standing before the king means that he is ready to deal with his ego and to stand opposite the Creator.
This means that faith should be that he will feel all day as though he is standing before the king. Then his love and fear will certainly be complete. And as long as he has not achieved this kind of faith, he should not rest. For this is our lives and the length of our days. And we will accept no recompense. And the lack of faith should be woven in his limbs until the habit becomes second nature, to the extent that I remember him. When I remember him, he does not let me sleep. But all the corporeal matters quench his lack, since he sees that anything that gives him pleasure, the pleasure cancels the deficiency and the pain. Rather, he must want no consolation and should be careful with any corporeal thing that he receives so it does not quench his desire. And this is done by regretting that by this pleasure the sparks and powers of the vessels of holiness are missing in him. Meaning desires for holiness. And through the sorrow, he can keep from losing the vessels of holiness.
Shilad.
Questions?
Good.
Yes.
Amnon,
go on.
Rav, it is said, work the Lord in gladness. So why should a person be in sorrow in order to give joy to the Creator?
Don't be in sorrow. Don't be.
But he writes,
if you're in an egoistic desire, then of course to come out of it and to replace the source of the pleasure from an egoistic source to a source of bestowal, source which is bestowal rather, of course, this is unpleasant. You need to be sorrowful that the previous source of pleasure doesn't fulfill you, or perhaps it does, but it's false. It's a lie. And so this brings you problems, troubles, very bad feeling, and so on. Yes?
I'm saying, why? If I...
You can't transition from the will to receive to the will to bestow through endless pleasures. You'll never disconnect from the will to receive.
But I overcome my will to receive. That's what I'm doing exactly. I'm happy that I managed to overcome the will to receive.
By what?
By exchanging it with the will to bestow. Why should I feel sorry?
And how do you do that?
That's something else.
Oh, it's not something else. Here, exactly, by inverting all of these inclinations, you come to a problem where you can't do this, actually. So how will you receive the will to bestow, make it above the will to receive, that your will want to bestow?
I don't understand exactly what sorrow will give me. You're correct in what you're saying, but what will sorrow give me when I want?
You will feel the sorrow to the extent that you're still in the will to receive, still appreciating your ego as great. Then you need to be sorrowful about why isn't the Creator great, the power of bestowal, love, coming outside of oneself towards others. Why isn't this great in my estimation? But instead, what's great to me is how to sustain myself. The main thing is my own stomach. Everything is happening only to me. And that's it. I can't be rid of that. The feeling and the intellect that's tied to that sensation, that feeling, they rule me, and I cannot do anything. I'm always in that. Subconsciously, I'm always in a state where I need to constantly think about myself, whether I want to or not. This is nature. Nature conquers me entirely. How do you get out of that? Tell me, how? You need, if it were possible to just push a button and to invoke some, or invite some power, activate some crane to lift you out of your own concerns for yourself, fine, you're right. And so I press the button, and now my mind and heart are lifted from this sewer, this garbage heap where I constantly think about myself, and now I'm thinking not about myself. So how is it not to think about myself? Are you able to do that? To think that? I'm not thinking about myself. This is called tzimtzum, a restriction. So how? And afterwards, to think about others, about the group, about the ten, so that they are more important to me. Not in words, but really. So that they will enter the place which is called my heart, where previously I was concerned only about myself. That's how I was born. And now I'm concerned only about them. And that's how it became. So, and later, even more than that, in them, inside them, I discover the Creator. And then I'm concerned only about Him, about His importance, His greatness. He guides me. They guide me to bestow to Him. So it is, from the love of the created beings to the love of the Lord. to the love of God. It can be only in a way where when one falls, the other rises. The will to receive is sorry about me not overcoming it. Love, yes. If it's possible to separate...
If I can separate myself and my will to receive, it turns out that it's not I who feel sorrow, but my will to receive feels the sorrow that I overcome it.
Yes, indeed. Very good. That's a very good discernment. Very good. Yes, Eddie.
He writes here that all the material matters extinguish this deficiency, and he should be aware of everything corporeal to not cancel his deficiency. How should the work be with desires for corporeality? From various desires that come and extinguish the deficiency.
We don't work with the desires. The light works with the desires.
So what does it mean?
I'm very weak against those desires, against the will. Let's say, I'm forbidden from eating sweets. Right, Vlad? Place something sweet in front of me and I'll steal something. So, not exactly a big treat, but let's say a little bit of something sweet, a cake. But let's say we can't stand against the will to receive. It's clear to us in all of our desires, sex, money, family, respect, and knowledge. You can be bought. It's certain you can be bought because it's my nature. In me, in my nature, there's nothing else but a calculation. If something is worthwhile or not worthwhile. And if I feel that I can, you know, steal a little bit something, I won't be ashamed. If I won't be discovered, if I won't be captured and hit, or if perhaps it can be hidden from myself as well, that I won't be ashamed, but ultimately I'm a thief. The will to receive will compel me, and I need some force that stands against that. It's very simple. It's simple physics. So what can you have here? Only the ten. So?
How can the ten help here? Suddenly desire is awakened and certain aspiration for various pleasures, and he says you should be aware. How can we be careful of that?
To arrange that the ten's influence will be such that I will see that I must get their support. And then I cry out to them. And then I discover that they don't have it either, but it's not immediately, that they also have nothing of it. But in them I discover the Creator. So the power of connection that's between them, which is called the Creator, in respect to me, Bo-ue, come and see, the power of connection that's between them. When I begin to identify it, see that it exists, it helps me because I integrate with it. Through integration with the power of connection, I annul myself. Necessarily so. It turns out that way necessarily because I connect to them. I leave myself. I integrate with them. I annul. I'm nullified, I'm diluted, let's say. In them I dissolve in them, yes? And that's it. That's how it happens. And so instead of myself, I find the Creator there, inside the ten. That's the meaning of from the love of the created beings to the love of God. And this affects me. If I reach that, they hold me in that. They hold me. I'm not a hero.
What's the connection
between the love?
What turns out if the force that they radiate on me and my desire that now yearns for something corporeal, how does it work one on the other?
Love isn't as we think of it in this world. Love is the force of connection.
And how this force of connection influences my desire and changes it to a different direction?
Because my will to receive is an individualist. It's opposite to connection. The power of connection becomes greater. And then it's called love will cover all crimes.
Last question.
Yes.
Is there a matter of a request for changing or correcting the desire, if I feel that suddenly a desire rules over me?
It's better, well, yes, it's true that we ask that way, change my desires and so on, but better yet is rule.
But he rules anyways.
No, I ask, I request him to rule. I want that. That's what I want. I want you to rule over me.
When the Creator is giving me the desire, doesn't he rule over me? Who gave me the desire?
No, he gave me an egoistic desire. And by that he now rules over me. But now I want him to rule over me with the opposite desire, that for bestowal. And that's what I need to demand. So through the group, I come closer to that. All right. Yes? Good. Let's continue.
Excerpt number 2 from the writings of Rabash. Article 18, who causes the prayer? One must not say, I am waiting for the Creator to give me an awakening from above, and then I will be able to work in the work of holiness. Baal Sulam said that in regard to the future, a person must believe in reward and punishment, meaning he must say, if I am not for me, who is for me? And when I am for me, what am I? And if not now, then when? Thus, one mustn't wait another moment. Instead, he should say, if not now, then when? And he must not wait for a better time, so then I will get up and do the work of holiness. Rather, it is as our sages said, do not say, I will study when I have time, lest you will not have time.
In short, we need to constantly hasten the times, to accelerate in a way where we don't wait for anything. That's the biggest problem. Weeks and months and even years go by and a person is waiting. When will it happen? And this is the work of the klipa, of the shell. This is the shell. That we agree with everything that happens. Rather, if I'm in a 10 and I work in it and I establish it as much as I can, then it's not waiting exactly. I'm at work, I'm doing work, and I understand that this work needs to continue until all the pennies add up to a great sum. But every penny, I still need all those pennies to amount to that great sum. And that's what's important. And so we need to make calculations. Are you listening, Vlad? Every morning and evening, you calculate. You account for yourself. And so you need to examine yourself to see, to check oneself. That's mandatory. And alongside that, you need to have patience. Patience, you ascribe to the Creator. Yes, I give over to you all of the keys to my life. But this is devotion. It's called devotion, and then it's possible to continue as much as possible, but with that, one understands that he depends on the Creator. Right? All right, continue. Excerpt 3 from Rabash, if a woman becomes pregnant or inseminates, the only way to obtain a deficiency that we are lacking, the desire to bestow, is by prayer, which is a medium between man and the deficiency. That is, one prays for the Creator to give him something for which he has no deficiency, that he will lack it. It follows that the kli, that is called a deficiency or a lack, is a lack with respect to the feeling, meaning that he does not feel its lack.
A deficiency for a deficiency.
And the prayer is that the Creator will give him the light, which is the filling of his lack. It therefore follows that the filling is a lack. Thus, he has no other choice but to pray to the Creator to give him a lack. And this is what connects the kli, the vessel, with the light. It is as Bala Sulam said in the name of the Admor of Pusov about what Rabbi Shimon said, the writing should rush primarily where the pockets are empty. A pocket means a kli, a vessel where one puts money. A pocket means a lack, and money is the filling for the lack. Thus, if a person has no pocket, namely a lack, it is even worse than not having the filling, because it is regarded as being unconscious. It follows that where one has no sensation of lack, that he does not have a kli of desire to bestow, he must hurry himself. With what? With prayer, which is the medium between the kli and the light, between deficiency and deficiency, and the filling, where he already feels that the lack, he already feels that lack that he cannot work in order to bestow.
Questions? Okay, in short, we need to understand that we must develop a deficiency for the deficiency. I don't have a deficiency for the greatness of the Creator. I have a deficiency for my own greatness, that I'll be great, I'll attain, I'll understand, I'll feel, I. How to do it so that I will be willing to be a zero, even not exist? And only the concern for the Creator would fill me. This is really the spiritual vessel. Try to think about it. We are not far from it. We had such feelings here and there. We just need to arrange them, connect them together, and work on it in a more purposeful way. If I wish to not feel myself and in my place to feel the Creator, so that His greatness will block out the entire horizon, this is the most desirable state.
Excerpt 4 from Rabash, Article 632, I will always yearn. I will always yearn, and I will add to all your glory. We should interpret that when one feels that he has closeness to Kedusha, to holiness, and it must be that the Creator drew him near, he must praise the Creator for pulling him out of his lowliness and admitting him into a state of the feeling of holiness. But one should not settle for this. Although he should appreciate this state and as much as he can depict to himself that it is a very important situation, meaning that as much as he may be able to appreciate its importance, this quality is still higher than his attainment. Yet, he says, and I will always yearn, meaning that there are higher degrees than I can envisage. But how is this possible? After all, as much as he may envisage this as important, how can something be more important than what can be envisaged? By this, I will always yearn, meaning that I will be able to portray more important reality than I can portray right now. Naturally, I will add to all your glory. It follows that although now, for the present, I am praising you, by always yearning that I will be able to attain more understanding of your importance, I will be able to add more glories.
I'll read it again.
I will always yearn, and I will add to all your glory. We should interpret it such that when one feels that he has closeness to Kedusha, to holiness, it must be that the Creator drew him near, and he must praise the Creator for pulling him out of his lowliness and admitting him into a state of the feeling of Kedusha, of holiness. But one should not settle for this. Although he should value his state, and as much as he can, to portray it as a very important thing, meaning that as much as he may be able to appreciate its importance, this quality is still higher than his attainment. Yet, he says, I will always yearn, meaning that there are higher degrees than I can portray or I can envisage. But how is this possible? After all, as much as he may depict this as important, how can something be more important than what can be portrayed? About this, I will always yearn, meaning that I will be able to depict a more important reality than I can right now. Naturally, I will add to all your glory. It follows that although now, for the present, I am praising you, by always yearning that I will be able to attain more understanding of your importance, I will be able to add more glories.
Meaning, we have to be careful to always yearn to appreciate the Creator even more than what he can depict to himself and feel.
About that exactly. So what do I need to depict to myself right now? You said it, but can you elaborate a little?
That the Creator is more important than what I feel Him.
So to paint an image, what image? What do I see?
Control.
Of the Creator.
Of the Creator. What I feel now, I feel it under my control, under my rule. I want to feel the Creator's dominion. At least to feel that what I feel is coming through Him, through His rule.
I understand what you're saying, but I can't see myself painting that image. When he says to paint that image, I'm imagining something that I want to achieve, right?
What I see now is what the Creator is depicting before me. Let's say that you say, yes, this is what the Creator is depicting before me. And now I want, in this depiction of the world, I wish to feel His greatness. His importance, simple. I just want to exchange the importance of what I see with the importance of the Creator that arranges it for me. By presenting this picture of reality, is confusing me. Just like you tell a child, look, what's happening, look at that. You're confusing, you're throwing him off. you want to take his attention off it, right? So you need to be in the struggle, in the struggle with the Creator. He wishes to confuse you, to throw you off, distract you, like with a little child, by bringing you all these pictures of the imaginary world, and through these pictures you wish to see Him. And then you begin to discover that all those pictures that He is showing you, one after the other, like in this machine that shows you this, you know, frames the positive. Xenka, what was it called?
A slide
projector. Okay, that is projecting it before you. You want Him not to confuse you with His pictures, and instead you want to be in contact with Him. Don't hide behind those shapes that you're projecting. Don't confuse me. I wish to feel you, to understand you, to connect to you, and not to these pictures of the imaginary world that you're bringing before me.
You know, of my greatest torment is, well, I'll give you an example. Let's say right now I want a Ferrari, so I can imagine myself sitting in the car, shifting gears, driving fast, everyone's looking at me, and great. But what you say now, I hear you say it every lesson, and my suffering is because I can't paint that picture. It seems abstract, it's not realistic, I can't even see a picture of it.
Come closer to the group.
In what way?
In what way? In such a way that you wish to drown in them, and then you'll feel a little bit what it's like to come out of yourself, and you'll have a greater feeling of what it means to be integrated with the Creator.
So it's inside the...
There's no other method. Otherwise, you'll never feel what it means to rise above the ego. You can't be included in the Creator directly, only through the group. There you receive certain discernments, what it means to rise above, yes, no, and so on and so forth.
So I'll give you an example of the 10. In the 10, we have two kinds of people. One who truly talks about how they're close to the Creator, and a kind that can't even come close to that. The kind that says, we're making an effort together, let's make an effort. But there's nothing very strong, like, here, let's feel it.
I don't know what to do. What do you recommend to do more in the tens in order to come to it?
And I'm not in a 10, I don't know, but I'm very... It somehow doesn't work.
Okay, we'll work on it. No, I think we should go to... You want to stay in that or go to the Pticha, to preface? Who's for staying in that? Who's for Pticha? Quarter here, a quarter there, and a half. Tzvika, what do you prefer? Pticha. Okay, done. Thank God we have someone who can think straight.
We'll move to the